This is the good news that we should be shouting from the rooftops.
Yes, we should. Hey, this is the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind, and coming to you from Riverside, California, podcasting since 2004, I'm Steve Webb, your OG Godcaster. This is the podcast that comes to you every single day, and we're reading the entire Bible together in a year. How do you like that? I'm so glad you're here. Welcome. The website is lifespringmedia.com. And as if we don't have enough sweets in December, today is National Cupcake Day. Remember, the frosting is the best part, but it's not the whole story. Actually, you know, you should think about that. That's sermon material right there. This is the Law Monday. We're going to read Genesis 32 through 35. Let's begin. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for our time together around your word. We pray, Lord, that today you would teach us, that you would open our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 32. Jacob went on his way, and God's angels met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." So he gave the place the name Mahanaim. Jacob sent men to carry news before him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He told them, "Say this to my lord Esau, 'Your servant Jacob says, I have been living with Laban and stayed there until now. I have cattle and donkeys and flocks and men and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord, hoping to find favor in your eyes.' The men that carried the news returned to Jacob and said, 'We came to your brother Esau. He is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him.' Then Jacob was afraid and troubled. He divided the people who were with him and the flocks and cattle and camels into two groups. For he said, 'If Esau comes to the one group and destroys it, then the other group will get away.' Then Jacob said, 'O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, return to your country and to those of your family, and I will bring good to you. I have not earned any of the loving kindness and faith which you have shown to your servant. For I had crossed this Jordan with only my walking stick, and now I have become two large groups. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the power of Esau. For I am afraid of him. I am afraid he will come and kill us all, the mothers with the children. But you said, I will bring good to you. I will make your children like the sand of the sea. There will be too many to number.' So Jacob stayed there that night. Then he chose a gift from what he had for his brother Esau: 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 female sheep, 20 rams, 30 milk camels and their young ones, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys, and 10 male donkeys. He put them into the care of his servants, every group of animals by itself. Then he said to his servants, 'Go in front of me, and keep the groups of animals apart.' He told the one in front, 'When my brother Esau meets you and asks, to whom do you belong, and where are you going, and who owns these animals in front of you, then you say, these belong to your servant Jacob. It is a gift sent to my lord Esau, and he is coming behind us.' He also told the second and the third, and all those who followed the animals, 'This is what you are to say to Esau when you meet him. And be sure to say, your servant Jacob is coming behind us. For he said, I will take away his anger with the gift that goes in front of me. Then when I meet him, he might receive me.' So the gift went in front of him while he stayed that night in the tent. But he got up that same night and crossed the Jabbok River with his two wives, the two women who served him, and his 11 children. He took them and sent them to the other side of the river with all that he had. Then Jacob was left alone. And a man fought with him until morning. When the man saw that he was not winning, he touched the joint of Jacob's thigh. And Jacob's thigh was put out of joint while he fought with him. The man said, 'Let me go, for the morning has come.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you pray that good will come to me.' The man asked him, 'What is your name?' He said, 'Jacob.' And the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have fought with God and with men and have won.' Then Jacob asked him, 'Tell me, what is your name?' But he said, 'Why is it that you ask my name?' And there he prayed that good would come to Jacob. So Jacob gave the place the name of Peniel, for he said, 'I have seen God face to face, and yet I am still alive.' The sun rose upon him as he passed through Peniel. It was hard to walk on his leg. So to this day, the sons of Israel do not eat the meat from inside the joint of the thigh, because he touched this part of the joint on Jacob's leg. Genesis chapter 33. Then Jacob looked up and saw Esau coming with 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two women who served him. He put the women who served him and their children in front, and Leah and her children behind them, and Rachel and Joseph behind them. Then Jacob went before them. He bowed to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and put his arms around him and kissed him, and they cried. Then Esau looked up and saw the women and the children. He said, "Who are these with you?" Jacob said, "They are the children whom God in his loving favor has given your servant." Then the women who served Jacob came near with their children, and they bowed to the ground. Leah also came near with her children, and they bowed to the ground. Then Joseph and Rachel came near and bowed to the ground. Esau said, "What do you mean by all these animals I have met?" And Jacob said, "They are a gift, so I may find favor in the eyes of my lord." But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." But Jacob said, "No, I ask of you, if I have found favor in your eyes, then receive my gift. For I see your face as one sees the face of God. You have received me with favor. Take my gift that has been brought for you. For God has shown loving kindness to me, and I have all I need." So he begged him until he took it. Then Esau said, "Let us be on our way. I will go with you." But Jacob said to him, "My lord knows that the children are weak, and there are young ones in my flocks that need milk. If they're made to go a long way in one day, all the flocks will die. Let my lord go in front of his servant, and I will be slow in coming to my lord at Seir. I will go as fast as the cattle in front of me and as the children are able." So Esau said, "Let me leave with you some of the people who are with me." But Jacob said, "What need is there? Let me find favor in the eyes of my lord." So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. But Jacob traveled to Succoth. He built his house there and put up small buildings for his animals. So the name of the place is Succoth. Now Jacob came in peace from Paddan Aram to the city of Shechem in the land of Canaan. And he put up his tents near the city. He bought the piece of land where he had put up his tents for 100 pieces of money from the sons of Hamor, Shechem's father. He built an altar there and gave it the name El Elohe Israel. Genesis chapter 34. Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she bore to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, the prince of the land, saw her. He took her, lay with her, and humbled her. His soul joined to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the young lady and spoke kindly to the young lady. Shechem spoke to his father Hamor, saying, "Get me this young lady as a wife." Now Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter, and his sons were with his livestock in the field. Jacob held his peace until they came. Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to talk with him. The sons of Jacob came in from the field when they heard it. The men were grieved, and they were very angry, because he had done folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter. A thing ought not to be done. Hamor talked with them, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. Please give him to her as a wife. Make marriages with us. Give your daughters to us and take our daughters for yourselves. You shall dwell with us, and the land will be before you. Live and trade in it and get possessions in it." Shechem said to her father and to her brothers, "Let me find favor in your eyes, and whatever you will tell me I will give. Ask me a great amount for a dowry, and I will give whatever you ask of me, but give me the young lady as a wife." The sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father with deceit, and spoke because he had defiled Dinah their sister, and said to them, "We can't do this thing to give our sister to one who is uncircumcised, for that is a reproach to us. Only on this condition will we consent to you. If you will be as we are, that every male of you be circumcised, then we will give our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if you will not listen to us to be circumcised, then we will take our sister, and we will be gone." Their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. The young man didn't wait to do this thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter, and he was honored above all the house of his father. Hamor and Shechem his son came to the gate of their city and talked with the men of their city, saying, "These men are peaceful with us. Therefore let them live in the land and trade in it. For behold, the land is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only on this condition will the men consent to us to live with us, to become one people. If every male among us is circumcised as they are circumcised, won't their livestock and their possessions and all their animals be ours? Only let us give our consent to them, and they will dwell with us." All who went out of the gate of his city listened to Hamor and to Shechem his son, and every male was circumcised, all who went out of the gate of his city. On the third day, when they were sore, two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, each took his sword, came upon the unsuspecting city, and killed all the males. They killed Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went away. Jacob's sons came on the dead and plundered the city because they had defiled their sister. They took their flocks, their herds, their donkeys, that which was in the city, that which was in the field, and all their wealth. They took captive all their little ones and their wives, and took as plunder everything that was in the house. Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have troubled me to make me odious to the inhabitants of this land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. I am few in number. They will gather themselves together against me and strike me, and I will be destroyed, I and my house." They said, "Should he deal with our sister as a prostitute?" Genesis chapter 35. God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and live there. Make there an altar to God, who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother." Then Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves. Change your garments. Let us arise and go up to Bethel. I will make there an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me on the way which I went." They gave to Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands, and the rings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. They traveled, and a terror of God was on the cities that were around them, and they didn't pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, that is, Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. He built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God was revealed to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the oak, and its name was called Allen Bacchath. God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be Jacob any more, but your name will be Israel." He named him Israel. God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations will be from you, and kings will come out of your body. The land which I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give it to you, and to your offspring after you I will give the land." God went up from him in the place where he spoke with him. Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he spoke with him, a pillar of stone. He poured out a drink offering on it, and poured oil on it. Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel. They traveled from Bethel. There was still some distance to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed. She had hard labor. When she was in hard labor, the midwife said to her, "Don't be afraid, for now you will have another son." As her soul was departing, for she died, she named him Ben-Oni, but his father named him Benjamin. Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, also called Bethlehem. Jacob set up a pillar on her grave. The same is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. Israel traveled and spread his tent beyond the Tower of Eder. While Israel lived in that land, Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard of it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah: Reuben, Jacob's firstborn; Simeon; Levi; Judah; Issachar; and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel: Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's servant: Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Zilpah, Leah's servants: Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Paddan Aram. Jacob came to Isaac his father to Mamre, to Kiriath Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac lived as foreigners. The days of Isaac were 180 years. Isaac gave up the spirit and died, and was gathered to his people, old and full of days. Esau and Jacob, his sons, buried him.
Well, Jacob is again the main character in today's reading. I'm sure you remember what we've already learned about him, the kind of man he was. Do you remember the meaning of his name? Right. Deceiver. Supplanter. He was a liar, a manipulator, a con man. He was the younger brother of twin sons. Esau was his older brother, but he conned the rights of the firstborn from Esau. Then he conned their father Isaac's blessing away from Esau. It's no wonder that Jacob was afraid to meet Esau and his army of 400 men. He figured Esau was going to kill him. But of course, that isn't what happened. When they met, Jacob bowed to the ground 7 times, and Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, threw his arms around his neck, and kissed him. And they both wept. And then, a little later, after Esau told Jacob that he didn't need the gifts that Jacob wanted to give him, Jacob says, "No, if I've found favor with you, please accept this gift from me." And what a relief to see your friendly smile. It's like seeing the face of God. Now, if you or I said that, we'd be saying it mostly as hyperbole, because I know I've not yet seen God's face, and I'm guessing you haven't either. But Jacob had seen God's face just the night before. Jacob actually wrestled with God, and he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared." And what did Jacob see in God's face, beloved? He saw forgiveness. He saw love. Despite his past sins, God blessed Jacob there in that place that Jacob called Peniel. And so when he received forgiveness and love from his older brother Esau, and he looked at Esau's tear-stained face, it truly was like seeing the face of God. Beloved, Luke 15:7 tells us that there is joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God. It's in God's character to forgive. It's not the exception. This is the good news that we should be shouting from the rooftops. God wants to forgive the sinner if he or she will only turn from their sins and ask Jesus to forgive them and become their Savior and their Lord. Young or old, rich or poor, Jesus will meet you where you are. As Esau ran to meet Jacob, Jesus will run to meet you. It truly is the good news. Today's episode of LifeSpring White Christmas tells the story behind Hark the Herald Angels Sing. There's more to it than you might think. It's day 15 of the show, which tells us that there are only 10 more days until Christmas, and 10 more days of the LifeSpring White Christmas Show in 2025. You can hear it at lifespringmedia.com or in your podcast app. On this date in church history, December 15th. We begin in 1944 with Dietrich Bonhoeffer writing some of his final reflections from prison in Germany. Bonhoeffer had been arrested for his resistance to the Nazi regime, and in the dark confines of Tegel prison, his faith became both his anchor and his message. He leaned heavily on Scripture, thought about Christian community, and reminded his fellow prisoners that Christ is in our midst even before we call upon him. These writings, smuggled out and later published, have sustained countless believers struggling with fear, injustice, and the cost of discipleship. Bonhoeffer reminds us that the gospel is not just for easy days, but for the hardest ones, and that Jesus walks with his people even to the very end. And then we move to 1954, when Billy Graham reached a new frontier in evangelism. For the first time, highlights from one of his crusades were broadcast on television, bringing the message of salvation into living rooms across America. I have to wonder if my mom had me on her lap at 4 months old when this was on TV. Up until then, evangelistic meetings happened in tents and stadiums, face-to-face. But now, families who had never heard Graham preach in person could see and hear the gospel on their screens. This was a major step in what became a pattern of using every available medium, radio, TV, film, and later the internet, to proclaim Christ. That broadcast helped shape how the church communicates the timeless gospel in a changing culture.
Remember that Wednesday is our next time of prayer on the show, and I'll record the show on Tuesday, probably sometime between 3 and 4 Pacific time in the afternoon. So if the Lord is doing something in your life that you'd like to share with the LifeSpring family, or if you have something you would like the LifeSpring family to pray with you about, please send it to me by then. Where do you send it? Well, you can text or leave me a message right here.
LifeSpring Family Hotline, 951-732-8511.
LifeSpring Family, Family Hotline, 951-732-8511.
Are you beginning to sing that yet? I kind of sing along with that as it goes. I kind of like that. I hope you do too. You can also email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com.
Lifespringmedia.com/support.
Of course, that's where you can support the show.
If you enjoy the show, tell someone.
You know, sharing is caring. Tell somebody about the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind and the LifeSpring Why Christmas Show and Verses We Missed. Tell people about it on X, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you hang out online. Let people know about the show. And which reminds me, how did you find the show? Let me know. Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com with the subject line, "Here's where I found you." We don't have listeners here. If you're hearing my voice right now, you're a part of the LifeSpring family. And a healthy family communicates with one another. They contribute. And that's what I want from you, to contribute, to participate, get involved, be part of what makes the show. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for inviting me to be a part of your day. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.
LifeSpring Media, bringing the message of hope, love, and good news since 2004.
The LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind is a LifeSpring Media production hosted by Steve Webb, the OG Godcaster since 2004.